You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Washington Nationals. I'm joined by Jamal Collier. Jamal, I think the big question on everybody's mind, were you invited to Bryce Harper's wedding? Because that's the biggest story in the world of the Nationals here at the end of 2016.
Yeah. I won't confirm or deny whether or not I was invited, but I can tell you from looking at the pictures and Instagram pictures that they posted, it certainly looked like it was a nice, extravagant, and pretty cool-looking wedding. I'm excited to hear exactly how or what what kind of setup they really had there, because it looked pretty dope.
It did look dope. Those pictures were legitimate. They looked like magazine ad quality.
Really did.
Much love to the Harpers. I hope they're enjoying their newlywed status. But, of course, in 2016, Harper had a subpar statistical season. Of course, banged up a bit, but Daniel Murphy kind of offset that quite a bit. Jeez, I mean, he was a huge addition. He's kind of thinking back the way this year unfolded. Max Scherzer, of course, was awesome, had the 20 strikeout game. Dusty Baker's first year was a success as far as the regular season is concerned. The ultimate disappointment of the first round of the postseason. But just kind of your takeaways, Jamal, in 2016, what stands out to you?
It's such a weird season for the Nationals because, like you said, there was a lot of things that were positives, a lot of takeaways they can come from this year and feel good about going forward. And especially coming off where they were in 2015, and probably on this podcast a year ago, the Nationals were a little bit of disarray. There was questions about the clubhouse, and they had just fired their manager, and just so many things seemed to be turning south. So for them to have a season where they have the 95 win, second best record in the National League, really was just a very positive thing. And you've got so many pieces, not to mention Trey Turner coming up, and the way he played in the first 70-some games of this year. Made him seem like he's going to be a perennial all-star and a really good piece for him going forward. So, definitely a net positive, I think, when you think of all the things they have to figure out kind of what went wrong or exactly what happened with Bryce Harper and how can they get him back to 2015. And then, of course, the early exit in the playoffs, which is tough because that was a really well-played series and they could have went either way on the Dodgers there and just kind of happened. The nature of the short series were just – the Dodgers played a little bit better for a little bit longer, and they kind of come away with this win. And maybe if the Nats win that first round but then get swept by the Cubs or beat in five games by the Cubs, we'll still have similar feelings. But, just overall for the Nationals, I think that they come away from 2016 feeling good about themselves and what they're kind of set up here for the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mentioned Murphy. I'm kind of reflecting now. Right now, in this moment, I'm sure Nationals fans would have loved to come away with Chris Sale or certainly one of the key closers that were available in this market, Aroldis Chapman, Mark Melancon, Kenley Jansen. And I'm not saying this turns out like that, but it's just funny to reflect on the way the Murphy thing unfolded. And sometimes, sometimes your best laid plans aren't the ones that are best for you. Their first option was to trade for Brandon Phillips or sign Ben Zobrist, who of course did have a great year,
but they
wind up with Murphy as their third or fourth choice. Yeah. Murphy comes through with a second in the MVP vote with 25 homers and 47 doubles. You can't say enough about what he meant to that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, in a little bit, just speaking to that sense, the Nationals have missed out on guys, the last two offseasons especially. There's kind of a growing, everybody's like, why the Nats keep finishing second place to everybody, for seemingly every single player that they go for. Some of that is, they also were in on guys like Jason Hayward and some of these money, you may think, like you say, okay, well, maybe it's well spent that they didn't get those guys. But it's also Nats are in a unique spot where they have resources and flexibility where they can make a run at a lot of different dudes. And we see they're always one of the guys in anytime one of an impact players is on the move and trade or whatever. They've got the prospects to trade for them. They've got the money to sign guys. They've got guys who can change positions or move if necessary. And they always just seem to have not necessarily a gaping hole, but just kind of a clear spot where we could make this work if the right kind of price fits. So like you said, going back to Murphy, I mean, he was so valuable for them and their best player, everyday hitter, I should say, at least for the Nationals last year. He was tremendous, and just everybody was, of course, wondering could he carry on what he did in the playoffs and was that a fluke or not. And he really kind of just built on that and those adjustments he made with the Mets in the second half of 2015 and has really kind of remade himself into one of the top, 15 hitters or so probably in the league.
You mentioned the Nats obviously had valuable trade chips, and we saw that when they swung the Adam Eaton trade. But one guy who was not going to move, I think that was all pretty clear going into the offseason, was Trey Turner. And, you know, the season, I should say the second half this kid had after coming up and really to live up to every expectation placed upon him and really carry the lineup there down the stretch was impressive.
It was a lot. I mean, it was fun to watch because he's such an exciting player. I mean, you knew about the speed and just the fact that he had a chance to be one of the fastest players in the majors. But kind of on top of that, he showed a lot of power. I mean, he reached, I think, 13 or 14 home runs, I'm off the top of my head here, in 70-some games after hitting, I think it was 8 in the minors, at that point in the previous. So he kind of almost, nearly doubled his home run total just from what he did in the short time in the majors. So he really just, like you said, showed up. Obviously, he moved to a new position, too. We kind of haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
So he's not a center fielder by trade, and kind of they gave him about a week crash course down in minors, and he's like, I've never really played center field before, or at least since Little League or something. And they said, all right, we're throwing you out there. Then he had the athleticism to kind of figure it out, and he did. So just really, when they can now, obviously this year they're going to be able to move him back to shortstop and have him at his kind of a set. But this is really the first time for him in a couple seasons that he just kind of been set going into the year, because for a couple years back he was changing organizations. He was in that weird player to be named later. And so he was in the Padres organization, even though he had technically been traded to the Nats already, but he had to start off with them. Then he comes in, and you're fighting for a job, and then you have to change positions. And now this year he's going to be able to go into a season knowing it's going to be one team, one position. And, the Nats hope that even that is going to be something to help him and free him up to hopefully even make another step forward, which is kind of crazy to say that he could potentially be should have some room to improve or grow or get better.
And then, the rotation, they made this bid for Chris Sale, and it was one of those wants, not needs more. It was more the want category. But obviously the rotation is pretty strong even without Sale. And Max Scherzer wins another Cy Young. He's now won it in both leagues. He had the 20 strikeout game. And also the way Tanner Roark stepped up, the guy who was bumped from the rotation when Max signed a couple of years back. And so Roark really, really asserts himself in the 2016 season. And just generally, you feel pretty good about that rotation. Now, obviously, the concern offsetting that a little bit is the Steven Strasburg situation and him finishing the year with the flexor strain and kind of where his status is going into 2017. We'll see. But they were right to back off them, no doubt about that. But in general, they have to feel good about their starting unit.
They really do. And, I mean, it was the strength of their team last season, and it'll probably be the strength again coming up this year. Like you said, you got those guys, and they really wish they could have been inside the playoffs where they had Scherzer, Strasburg, and Tanner Roark at the top because they think that rotation was as good to second with anybody. And especially with those top two guys, Scherzer and Strasburg. And Strasburg for the first half kind of looked like he really all put it together and was ready to and take another step forward to be just really one of the top pitchers in the National League, if not the majors. So, I think they definitely have to always his health is a concern, how they can better kind of monitor him. They've already hinted at, we're going to find ways to maybe alter his throwing program in between starts. Potentially we're going to he's going to throw the slider, cutter combo pitch that he kind of developed or started throwing more last season. He's going to throw that a little less. He doesn't want to eliminate it necessarily, but he thinks that kind of put some undue stress on his elbow because he all of a sudden threw that pitch. The second most frequent pitch last year after kind of virtually not throwing it ever in his career. So that being said, if these guys are healthy and starting the ball every fifth day, when you got a guy like Joe Ross, who also was injured and missing time last year, but he has been a solid above-average starter so far in his career. And Gio Gonzalez, not coming off a great year, but you can talk about that's your fifth starter. You still feel pretty good about your chances. So the question is probably going to be depth. When Giolito and Lopez are traded, then now all of a sudden you're maybe an injury or two away from not really knowing where you kind of where you are. But, they've done this the last couple of years. They brought in some veteran starters as kind of some insurance and maybe stash them in the minors or have them ready to bring them in for spring training. So they'll figure out ways to piece that together. But if these guys are healthy, especially those guys at the top. Starting pitching is going to be their calling card and their strength.
All right, there you have it. Tying a bow on 2016. I want to thank Jamal Collier for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Washington Nationals edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.